All right, you guys, it's happening. It's happening. Everybody stay calm. After yesterday's episode where we went kind of for the jugular with Turning Point USA, because really, I think everybody in the entire world has had enough with the non-response, trying to move on, trying to gaslight us on answering basic details. So we just went for it. And guess what? Turning Point has moved to formally respond to all the things that we have said. And after a very long diatribe in which they wildly misrepresent the public and global investigation of Charlie Kirk's assassination, they at long last issued a public invitation or a challenge. I'm not sure what it is, but I accept. Okay. Quite literally, all we have ever asked for were sensible answers to our basic questions about what transpired on September 10th. And it looks like we're going to get those things. So major, major win. I am excited. Also, later on in the show, what I have for you is The Game, who's a rapper, is releasing a song that is entitled The Assassination of Candace Owens. And I have more questions. I've got questions. Am I allowed to have questions? Welcome back to Candace. What can I say other than we went max? Pause, reflect. I'm proud of everybody. I'm proud of the world. Every single person who was in my inbox giving me tips, the people inside of Turning Point USA who were leaking, the donors that wrote public letters, the donors that didn't write public letters, but sent us messages encouraging us to keep going. Today feels like a win because guess what? It forced Turning Point USA to finally respond. And that was the entire point, okay? That has been the point of refusing to let up even 1 second in this investigation. They wanted to simply be able to eulogize Charlie Kirk at a big memorial event, and then they wanted us to simply move on. And we didn't do that, okay? So yeah, we should celebrate the fact that we kept up the pressure, that we insisted that we have answers, that even in this tremendous culture of ADHD and everyone's constantly being distracted by their iPhones, that we kept the focus, okay? Turning Point is going to commit to a live streamed event where they are apparently going to answer all of these lingering questions. And I would say these were pretty basic questions right out of the gate. Why they didn't do that right out of the gate, nobody knows. We can hear them, their explanation for why they didn't in just a moment, because they sent Blake Neff out. Blake Neff, by the way, is the producer of The Charlie Kirk Show. Now he is kind of the rotating talent of The Charlie Kirk Show. He was already featured with Charlie on the show, so that's not unusual. But I think we probably anticipated that Andrew Colvett, who is the TPUSA spokesperson, would have been the person to deliver this message. Maybe in theory, that should have been his job. Maybe he's traveling. The point is, we got Blake Neff. And I want to say, just to reiterate, that I have always maintained that whatever is going on at Turning Point USA, I have not felt that Blake Neff is one of the bad guys, okay? I just have never gotten that particular vibe from him. I believe that when he speaks, he believes that he is telling the truth. And maybe that's why they want him in front of the camera. He's been the only person that has been responding in a way that feels even remotely authentic when he defends the actions of Mikey McCoy on that day. I sense that he believes that he is telling the truth. Anyways, let's listen to what Blake Neff had to say in its entirety. It's not going to feel organic, obviously. He's reading from a piece of paper. This has probably been reviewed 12 times by many different lawyers because that's how it works at big organizations and companies. But I don't fault him that. We'll pause at certain moments because I do want to be able to respond throughout it. It's a bit long, but I want to give them my platform as I always have made that offer too. So here is Blake Neff.
Ever since Charlie's murder, Candace Owens has leveled a flood of allegations against people at Turning Point USA, people at Turning Point Action, and people who work for this show. She's made them against some of Charlie's closest friends and against some of his most dedicated employees.
Yes.
She has suggested that Michael McCoy, Charlie's chief of staff, knew Charlie would be murdered, was happy that he died, and stayed silent because he was told he would be the next Charlie. She has suggested Michael is not his real name. It is. I have seen his birth certificate myself. She has called it suspicious that Mikey's wife, who works at Turning Point, helped plan the campus tour event where Charlie was murdered, which she didn't, by the way. She doesn't work on campus events.
Okay, so first and foremost, I actually never said that she helped plan the event. I said it was suspicious that Mikey McCoy's wife, that we never found out who did plan the event, that we want, that was one of the answers that we wanted to know. And I said that she works in events, still was not clear on what happened regarding Mikey McCoy. I think the entire world believes that his actions are suspicious because we have eyes, and you don't get to wiggle out of that by pretending that us playing the words of his own father, Rob McCoy, who I think is highly suspicious in all of this. He has a suspicious background. We played his own words as he tried to sanitize someone who spent time in prison for being a sexual deviant, right? For trying to take photos of young girls. I don't think he's a good guy, and you're not going to make us forget those things because you are trying to pretend that Mikey's actions were totally normal that day. They weren't. That's why I didn't make the public feel that way, okay? I may have voiced how they felt, which everyone else is refusing to do, but I do believe that Mikey McCoy should have to answer for who he had on the phone right when the shot went off. So, yeah. His father, his own father, is the one that spoke about Charlie's notebooks and spoke about how Mikey McCoy was talented. And it was Mikey McCoy who then jumped on Liberty University's stage for an event that was scheduled for Charlie Kirk. So there you go. That's our perspective. And I'm going to stand by it. Let's keep it rolling.
Candace has suggested the Utah Valley University event was unusual, and its details suggested a, quote, inside job.
It was unusual. That's a fact. And you can quote me on that because I worked for Turning Point USA and I went on every tour since 2019. And typically those events are decided at least the semester before. This came together very quickly. It is unusual. And I don't know why you think that you are going to be able to disprove that notion when I have the emails to support that claim. Let's keep it rolling.
She has claimed that foreign aircraft have followed Erica Kirk around the country and that Turning Point has lied about this happening.
Definitely never said Turning Point lied because you never responded. So that doesn't actually make any sense. And this is why it's not good to have lawyers write things out, because sometimes they're not so detail-oriented. What we did was we showed at first that when I plotted these strange Egyptian jets that they were following Charlie. And that was a concern because I wondered if they were tracking Charlie. We then obviously realized that they were tracking TPUSA faith events and that many more times they were following and perhaps tracking Erica. You should be concerned about that. We find it odd that rather than being concerned or trying to get answers to why a foreign military jet would be on the ground during a time when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, you're upset with us for asking questions about these jets. Let's keep rolling.
She has accused us of lying about Charlie wanting Erica to take over for him if he died.
Never happened. That is not a quotation. That is just them saying that. So let's keep rolling.
She has suggested Charlie's security team intentionally denied him first aid after the shooting to ensure that he died.
When you say suggested, it means that they are interpreting my words. What I said is another fact. They did not issue him first aid when he fell down. There was nobody who pulled out any gauze and tried to stop the bleeding. And they've admitted to that. In a sit down with Sean Ryan, Brian Harpole said it was because of the severity of the injury. I'm sorry again that we noticed something that stood out as unusual. Given the expertise and the amount of money that he was paying that supposed to be an elite team. Let's keep rolling.
She has raised suspicions about the head of our technical team because he took an SD card out of a camera. She has spread absurd claims that Tyler Bowyer, who we just had on the show, sexually abuses male interns.
Okay, so yes, the SD card thing is unbelievably suspicious. It's not something that you would do. Neither would you just run up onto a grassy knoll and record yourself. Again, these are unusual actions. And rather than trying to pretend like it's normal to record a selfie video of yourself and to prematurely announce that somebody is dead, maybe you should answer why all of that took place, because you guys told lies about, verifiable lies about why that took place. Because don't forget, Andrew Colvett sat next to you and said it was because people were stealing. If people were stealing, you probably would want to grab the very expensive cameras and not the SD card for an event that was being live streamed. Regarding Tyler Boyer, I'm so glad we're going to do this live streamed because I'm happy to present to you the exact name of the intern. And I didn't say that he abused him. I didn't say it was not consensual. I said that he likes younger boys. I don't mean like younger as in they're not of the legal age. I'm just saying they're a lot younger than him. And yeah, I can give you the exact name of the intern that he hooked up with. That person was not at Turning Point USA. But I can also give you more than that, as well as people that are currently working for Turning Point USA who said that Tyler Boyer and these are young men tried to hook up with them after some events. So I'm glad we're going to live stream that. Keep going.
She has suggested that TPUSA faith affiliated pastors like theologian Frank Turek, who we'll have on in a moment, and Pastor Rob McCoy are part of a military, quote, infiltration of Turning Point, either because they are veterans or because they have family members who are.
Yeah, so I do believe the Calvary Chapel, their history with Chuck Smith, the evidence that it was a militant CIA effort to infiltrate the Christian faith and to tie the Christian faith to the political ideology of Zionism. I think there's a lot of evidence for that, and I'm happy to discuss that in a broader debate. I do think that things at Turning Point USA became a bit problematic when you started to, I would say, almost hijack genuine Christian faith and sort of roll it into this idea that you must support Israel in order to be a Christian. That's kind of floating into more opinion, but I think well backed by the facts of the founding of the Calvary Chapel Church during the decade of the 60s, where the CIA was really just spiking the ball on Christians in general. Let's keep going.
Even if not everyone has been named specifically, though, Candace has effectively tarred everyone here with complicity in Charlie's death by repeatedly saying he was, quote, betrayed by, quote, everyone.
Sorry, that was a dream that I had. And it is also a realization that it has been months. People at Turning Point USA are in possession of text messages and the day before Charlie died, in which he wrote out to you, and not just to people that work at Turning Point USA, but also security guards, that he thought that they were going to kill him tomorrow, explicitly. I find it highly unusual that you wouldn't share that information at all, or that you would sit by and be quiet, or at some points attack people that are trying to explore who they is, because I don't think anybody believes that Charlie thought that a trans furry kid who had never been on UVU's campus was going to kill him tomorrow. And your silence during moments when people are lying, like Josh Hammer, when he said, hey, this never happened, Charlie never blinked on Israel, makes you all look very, very suspicious. Lies are only necessary, okay, when you are covering something. And if you are covering the truth, you are betraying Charlie. So I stand by that. Let's keep going.
She has said Charlie's murder, quote, had to be approved by Charlie's friends, and then suggested those friends might have her murdered too for, quote, knowing the truth.
So you notice that's like a Snopes tactic. When he says the quote, it's actually not a full quotation. I never said that, obviously, in the context that he put it in. That Charlie's friends, quote, had to know he was going to be murdered. Did I say the sentence had to know he was going to be murdered? Perhaps, but we're going to need to hear the full sentence because you're trying to context it in a way that is just untrue. And I don't think it's necessary. If you're willing to have a conversation that you need to lie about anything that I've said, people have watched the show. They know exactly what I've said. And I tend to stand by what I've said. And I do stand by everything that I've said. Keep going.
She has made claims of financial impropriety and fraud at Turning Point, adding up into the millions of dollars, which, again, is not true. Charlie made sure the organization was audited by a third party every year. He personally reviewed and he signed off on every expense report and literally every single bill paid by the organization down to a single United States dollar. We have never missed a 990 deadline.
Okay, so immorality, like financial impropriety, does not necessarily mean that you committed true financial fraud. There's definitely financial impropriety at the company. I would say that if you are representing yourself as a charity and what you're actually doing is evaporating millions of dollars into various LLCs that have your name on it, that would be financial impropriety, right? Like you could say, I'm a contractor, I'm this LLC, I'm that LLC, I'm not doing anything illegal, but it's inappropriate, it's improper. Most people are not able to read those forms and won't understand what's happening to the $80 million. And I think that those questions are, of course, valid and that you guys should have no issues answering them. I am struck by the fact that you're still trying to conflate an annual audit with Charlie's explicit request to put together a Doge department 7 days before he died. These are not the same. You know they're not the same. I know they're not the same. Okay. Everyone knows that Doge is not the same as the audits that are required for 501c3s, conducting an internal audit. And having you still misrepresent that makes us uncomfortable. Address the Doge. That's got nothing to do with anything other than Charlie, right? Charlie felt that this needed to happen. And inside sources at your own company say it was because he didn't know where the money was coming from, or how quickly and where exactly the money was being evaporated to. That passes the vibe check in terms of what Doge is about, because, of course, Charlie could not have been establishing Doge for the last 5 years, because that's a very new concept as of 2025, something that Trump put into place with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, right? So, yeah, you're still being dishonest, but carry on.
Candace has made other stranger allegations involving French paratroopers in maroon shirts, Egyptian Air Force planes flying out of Provo, Utah, and potential underground assassins traveling through unseen tunnels. At one point in early November, she started wildly throwing suspicion on members of Utah Valley's soccer team for wearing hoodies. I could go on. There is always something new coming up, and none of it ever pans out, because from the start, there has been nothing there.
Okay, so no matter how many times you keep pretending there's nothing there at the Egyptian planes, the whole internet understands that there's something there at the Egyptian planes, especially because you keep pretending like it's not weird. Like you're just like, it's not weird. No, this is normal. It's totally fine that these Egyptian planes, and also, by the way, today it broke that the Saudi king was on this plane at some point in 2023. We'll get to that later. And you guys are like, this is totally normal. This is just what happens at UVU. People just lay over into Wilmington, do things. It's just so foolish. You guys have got to stop the gaslighting if you think your organization is going to survive. I mean, some of that stuff is just untrue. Saying that I went after somebody for wearing a green hoodie is not true at all. We never even covered the green hoodie people on this show. I shared a picture when somebody asked for a picture because they were trying to investigate and identify everyone who was there, which is valid. And the person wearing the green hoodie was not even upset about it. He responded. So that has nothing to do with me whatsoever. And by the way, it would probably feel better to the public if you guys were the ones that were asking questions about who was there on that day. I completely stand by what I said about the people that are wearing maroon shirts. They are going to, I will guarantee you, represent a military unit somewhere. I'm very close to figuring out exactly which military unit that was. Again, trying to gaslight us and pretend we're conspiracy theorists or like that's stupid. Not a good long-term strategy for Turning Point USA. Carry on.
The attacks and allegations from Candace are either lies or they are innuendos thrown around with a total reckless disregard for the truth so that Candace can manipulate and string along an audience of people who don't realize they are being played. Instead of being able to grieve properly after one of the most heinous murders in American history, a murder many of us had to witness, my friends have had to endure harassment from people who have gotten whipped up by what Candace is saying. In fact, I would say we have suffered more harassment from these people than we have from Antifa supporters who overtly celebrate Charlie's murder. And just like a lot of those Antifa members, many of these people take this delight in how gross and unpleasant they can be. What our friends have had to endure is not funny and it's not insignificant. It is evil. I have seen it.
okay, conflating people that are trying to figure out who murdered Charlie Kirk with like Antifa is actually objectively funny. That's an unforced error. They should not have included that in the statement. Somebody in that room was like, should we say that? Should we not? And somebody said, no, we shouldn't say that. And then somebody else in the room said, no, we should. Let's keep it in. That second person was wrong. That should have been struck from the statement. It's very silly. Okay. It's very silly to attack your own audiences who are concerned and your own donors who are concerned and say, you're Antifa if you don't accept this absurd Fed slop. If you're not going to drink the Fed slop, then you are Antifa. Just not a good idea whatsoever, okay? That is not what's happening here. You are not the victim. Charlie is, actually. He's dead. And to pretend like you are too aggrieved to be able to answer the questions makes entirely no sense. Obviously, if you were actually under a real amount of stress, if you actually were deeply upset that people had you on a list of suspects or thought that you were suspicious, you would just clarify things instantly, immediately. It's so easy. It's free. If someone said, Candace, what were you doing when Charlie Kirk was shot? I'd be like, I was sitting down at my table prepping my show. Like, the question doesn't offend me because I had nothing to do with Charlie dying, okay? This is a psychological technique that is failing. It is failing for you. And you're upset because you thought that with time, with the passage of time, people would let the story go, and they didn't. And these reasons that he's about to list for why they didn't respond and answer any questions are beyond ridiculous. Let's take a listen.
For months, we have received hundreds, thousands, I suspect, emails and calls asking us to respond.
Yeah.
People have wanted us to invite Candace on the show. But for a long time, our approach was to say nothing. We did that for several reasons. First, we thought that her prevarications were so absurd that nobody would believe them. We shouldn't have to answer questions about secret tunnels or Egyptian Air Force planes. That sort of thing is just, it's beneath contempt to respond to. The second reason we've said so little, though, is because there's a good rule of thumb, which Charlie followed. Do not feed the trolls. Focus on the mission. Reviving America, uplifting young people, making heaven crowded. Don't give air to people who want to tear you down and sow discord. Lastly, we didn't respond because Charlie always viewed Candace as a friend, and we were holding out hope that she would return that friendship and stop what she was doing.
Okay, so the first thing he says there is, we didn't respond because it's beneath us. Like, that's just not the right attitude. I mean, that is an elitist attitude. It is beneath us to respond to the very people who showed up in scores because they were so moved by Charlie's assassination that they all poured into the Staples Center, right? And poured their tears out and made videos and donated. It is beneath us to not to then respond to questions that you have that are meaningful, because we just think it's so stupid that you would suggest that the feds are involved in an assassination. That's never happened in American history. What? What? So that's a ridiculous thing. The second thing he says there is, Charlie always said, don't feed the trolls. Well, that flies into the face of what he says thereafter, where he says Candace and Charlie were friends. So I'm not a troll, okay? I'm not a troll. I'm not trolling. I'm not someone who's hated Turning Point and wanted Turning Point to fail. I'm actually the exact opposite of that. And that's why the people believe in me and they trust me, because they feel that I'm the only one that's acting right in the situation. Who wouldn't want to have every stone unturned if they cared about somebody? Who wouldn't want to have every question answered? Who wouldn't be immediately suspicious to see Egyptian military jets? Who wouldn't go, why the hell were these jets around Turning Point way before, years before Charlie's assassination? Who is on these jets? Instead, you're mentioning the Egyptian planes for the fourth time. So I would like to recommit everybody that is watching this to figuring out what the hell is going on with the Egyptian planes, because they're nervous about them, okay? They're mentioning so many times, they're just trying to give the vibe that this is so crazy. No, they are fearful. The Egyptian planes hold the key, and that is obvious even in Blake Neff's statement. But yeah, I am not a troll, okay? And people followed what felt to them as authenticity, and it was not you. They were not getting that from Charlie's closest friends. Why is that? They weren't getting that from Charlie's most loved pastors. Why is that? Don't blame me for the bad energy that you exuded. Okay. Don't blame me for the fact that you didn't pass the gut check with the public. That's why you're doing this. Okay. That is why you are doing this, because your strategy failed. In fact, this is your old school turning point before they put on the faith pants. This is your old school turning point lesson in what the free markets are. The free market saw what you were offering, right? And they saw what I was offering. You were offering, we should accept this and move on. And I was saying, we need to investigate this. And the free markets said no to Turning Point USA. Anyways, let him take this away in terms of what he thought, I guess, was the best way to be a friend to Charlie Kirk. What did he think was the best way for them to show that they were friends with Charlie Kirk? Keep going, Blake.
But a week from now, it's going to be 3 months since Charlie's murder. Candace has not changed her behavior. She has continued to spread falsehoods about Charlie's friends, and she continues to concoct new ones about new people. She's using these falsehoods to enrich herself while dividing the conservative movement at an absolutely critical time for this country.
I have to applaud that audacity. I have to applaud it. You do. You have to applaud it. These, excuse me here, but like, I'm trying not to swear. These men, okay, this company, these amazing lads over here have the audacity to accuse me of enriching myself when they were out there selling t-shirts, okay, of what Charlie died in to enrich themselves. Were they giving those t-shirts away for free at the Staples Centers? No, they were selling kit of what Charlie died in to the tune of $80 million plus dollars that they made in the first 3 weeks, okay? They made their entire budget for the year in the first couple of weeks following Charlie's assassination, and they are attacking me with zero proof that I've made a single dollar off of Charlie's assassination. I did not sell a cup. I did not sell a mug, okay? All I did was do what I already do for a living, okay? A podcast, and I investigate things. I investigate things that I feel passionate about. Sometimes it's Kamala's genealogy when she's saying she wants to be the president and things aren't making sense, and I sense that she is lying. Sometimes it's Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds when they tried to destroy a man's life who's not even on my quote-unquote political team. Sometimes it's Brigitte and why we are colluding with nations to cover the obvious fact that Brigitte was born a male. And this time, it's personal and it's you. Do you want to know what all of these investigations have in common? Liars who lie and think that the public is too stupid to see through their lies. That is how we got into this, okay? I did not sell anything. You did that. You guys did that. You guys continued to do that. You guys wanted to just move on and to grift off of Charlie's legacy. I dedicated myself to figuring out who murdered him. So anyways, he does get to the point here, which is that they are willing to finally address things head on. So I will let Blake say that.
And far too often, we here have heard from ordinary people, people who loved Charlie and who Charlie loved so much in return. These people have expressed the worry that we are staying silent out of cowardice or as some sort of tacit admission that some of the attacks are true. Neither is the case. Our silence has never been, and it will never be, equal to complacency or approval. Still, we decided Charlie would not allow this to go on. Charlie was not a coward. Charlie was a fighter. Charlie would not allow someone to spread lies about the people closest to him with impunity. And he would feel ashamed if other people were stepping up to defend his friends while he never did so himself. Candace has mentioned several times that the ball is in our court. So here's what is going to happen. In the near future, there will be a live stream here in Phoenix where we address in a clear and comprehensive way the claims and accusations, the false accusations that have been made against Charlie's family, friends, and the people here at Turning Point. We plan to walk through everything carefully and thoroughly. If Candace is available, we would sincerely welcome her participation in that live stream at our studio here in Phoenix. At this point, we believe the ball is back in her court. Our motivation for doing this is not out of any obligation to Candace. It is about honoring Charlie. We feel a deep responsibility to protect his legacy, his work, and the truth. I feel that. I owe Charlie everything in my life. I feel it immensely. And that is why we feel compelled to speak clearly and openly now. We'll have more on this in the near future.
Yay! Finally, you didn't have to get through all that shade that you were throwing me to get to the point that you were willing to answer questions, okay? Because that's what Charlie did for a living. How could you guys think that you were just going to continue on and pretend like people asking meaningful questions was somehow an attack? That's what he did for a living. He stood up on college campuses and he debated people. And he sat there principally and debated people because he felt that he had the moral high ground, okay? And that if those people disagreed with him, he could bring them over to his side. You guys have been actually acting and embodying the opposite of Charlie Kirk's spirit, okay? And you did it even in this. It was like one big character assassination. And it wasn't to me. That's what you guys don't understand. You're not attacking me. You are attacking millions of people around the world who watched a man, an innocent man, be publicly executed and then watched what felt very much like the state collude to feed us absolute horseshit about what took place on that day, okay? 30-06 bullets do not get stopped by human necks because they eat healthy. They don't. And yes, you guys are a part of that apparatus of people who made us feel, and you've expressed it here, like you were too good to answer questions. We are already said, I got on stage and I told you that I'm Charlie's pastor. I told you I'm his best friend. I told you, you guys have even allowed people to inject themselves into his legacy that Charlie didn't even like. And we're supposed to believe you're doing this because you're his friend? Because you're committed to truth? You sat there and allowed the very people who pressured Charlie towards the end of his life to try to claim his whole legacy? And you're pretending we are the ones that are immoral? You're upset because you got caught lying. You're upset because you got caught with your pants down. But you cannot blame me for that, okay? These were your own errors. These were your own lies. And I was not going for a single second to let up on the pressure. In fact, I have been so strategic that I have been holding on to certain information, hoping that you would acquiesce to have a public conversation because I want to look you in the eye and I want to challenge you to lie to me because I care deeply about what happened to Charlie on that day. I don't think we're getting the truth. And I do believe that because you are not forthcoming about the information that you have, about Charlie texting you guys and saying that he thought he was going to be assassinated that very next day, okay? The day that he died, Charlie knew, said he thinks he was going to be killed tomorrow, and you guys are sitting on that information. So I'm the right person, yeah. I'm the right person to sit across from you and to ask you questions, right? Some things that you told me on that day, they're not adding up. I think the entire world would like to see this discussion. I think you can do it in Charlie's honor. I'll sit there, you pick a place and time. We could have done this today, by the way. You didn't have to read all that, okay? We all have tech. We could have done a live stream. We could schedule a live stream. We can raise money for Turning Point USA if you promise to answer every question that I have, okay? And it's not hard. It's not difficult if you are telling the truth to answer questions. When you are emoting so much and you're upset at the inquiry and you're playing this game like you're David Hogg and, well, I survived Parkland, so how dare you question my authority on anything? Not a good long-term strategy. It's not going to be effective long-term. And I think you're learning that lesson because 3 months on, with the entire mainstream media on your side and attacking me, which you guys didn't even stand up for me, when you knew they were lying about me, you stayed mum. That in and of itself, you should be ashamed of. You should be ashamed to sit across from people who did everything they could to stop Charlie's rise, breaking bread with them and refusing to have a conversation with me, and you know that I cared about Charlie. Have you no shame? We're gonna find out. You can pick the place, you can pick the time. I say we do it tomorrow. We don't need to plan for this. We don't need lawyers in between us, lawyer statements. It's not how I roll, okay? I don't care about any of that. I want it to be authentic. Like I said, you can take the money. We can raise money live for this conversation. That is how badly the world is demanding it. So I accept it with whistles and bells, everything. I fully accept. I say, let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. And my only ground rule is no assassinations. Okay. No assassinations, no funny business. You can't pretend you're going to do it. And then Candace died in a mysterious accident. Okay. We'll be right back after a quick break. All right, you guys, this holiday season, you can express your love with a very special gift of premium steaks from Riverbend Ranch. Their holiday bundles are only available while supplies last, and they are going to go fast. You can order your holiday gifts today at riverbendranch.com. If you haven't tried Riverbend Ranch steaks, it is time that you did, because I've never had a better steak in my entire life. For the last 35 years, Riverbend Ranch has been creating an elite Angus herd by using ultrasound technology to select genetically superior cattle with a focus on flavor and tenderness. And they only use the top 1 or 2% of the entire Angus population as their breeding stock, producing beef that has much more flavor and tenderness than your average Angus beef. Now, each steak is aged to perfection for 21 days. All Riverbend Ranch cattle were born and raised here in the USA. They never use growth hormones or antibiotics, and the beef is processed right at their ranch in their award-winning USDA-inspected processing facility. So you avoid the costly middlemen because the beef is sent directly from their ranch to your home. And I love supporting American ranchers. Right now, when you order from riverbendranch.com and you use promo code Candace, you will get $20 off your first order. So do that. Head to riverbendranch.com and use promo code Candace. Also want to tell you guys about the wellness company, because what if the sore throat and fever that hit you overnight did not mean that you have to cancel a family trip or miss work or waste hours at urgent care? Instead, you could just open your medical emergency kit from the wellness company, match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended guide, and start treatment immediately at home. This is not a first aid kit. It is a mini urgent care center right at your fingertips. Inside, you'll find core prescriptions to treat over 30 conditions like COVID, strep throat, pneumonia, and more. No more waiting rooms or pharmacy lines. Just modernized medicine right when you need it. Ordering is super simple. At checkout, you can complete a short intake form, and a licensed doctor will review, fill your scripts, and the kit will arrive to your home in a week. No one wants to be sick during the holidays, so be prepared. Save yourself time and money. The medical emergency kit puts urgent care in your hands. You can order your kit now by heading to twc.health/Candace, and you can use code Candace at checkout to save up to $45 off, plus you'll get free shipping. Again, that's twc.health/Candace, and use code Candace at checkout. Kits are available to U.S. residents only. All right, you guys, let's get into some stories. I'm laughing at the live chat right now. They really think Turning Point's going to kill me. They're like, don't go in person. It's a setup. It's a trap. I think that they would kind of figure that they would be blamed for that. I think we're okay there. But let's start with the Pentagon, because this is interesting. The United States Pentagon, in case you don't know, is the complex that houses our Department of Defense. It's a massive complex, right? There is arguably no more relevant building to communicating to the American people about foreign threats. That's what they do. It's quite literally the nerve center for the United States Armed Forces. It's headquarters for their Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. And recently, because the American government wants the world to no longer take us seriously as a nation or something, they decided to undergo a quote-unquote press corps makeover, ostensibly to let in new, independent, more trusted journalists. And some of them are, okay, James O'Keefe, obviously, formerly of Project Veritas, he's very much trusted. Matt Gaetz, I like him very much. But some of the people that they let in are almost the exact opposite of trustworthy and are just radically pro-Zionist. Like, they will lie, steal, cheat, and figuratively murder, literally allow Israel to murder without asking any questions. And so that's why they're being let in, most notably, obviously, Laura Loomer. She's totally nutty. And I don't say that in a way of like, I'm just, this is an ad hominem attack. I mean, like, she has psychotic issues. Allowing Laura Loomer into a national defense complex is actually sort of just an indication to just how committed they are to laundering the reputations of anyone, as long as they say, I support Israel, because Laura Loomer is quite literally so deranged that she once handcuffed herself to the Twitter headquarters because they banned her account. Okay. That's like, and she wore a yellow Star of David. When I met her, she was crying tears because they took away her check mark. She deeply, deeply cares about social media in a way that is just unhinged. Okay. Now, she is apparently not allowed to own a gun because of various psychotic events that required her hospitalization, but due to her commitment to Zionism, which in a Zionist defense seems like a psychopathology is a prerequisite, the media is now trying to mainstream her and make us think that she's like a serious person. So our government, the Pentagon, decided to credential her at this time. She's a part of the new press corps that we can trust. Laura has probably been the one of the more prominent gaslighters when it comes to Charlie Kirk's assassination. She hated Charlie when he was alive and now wants everyone to honor him by not prodding the narrative surrounding his death. Literally a couple of weeks before he died, she called Charlie a charlatan, a political opportunist, that he wasn't pro-Trump simply because he hosted Dave Smith, who is anti-Zionist, he is also Jewish, for a debate with Josh Hammer, who's a radical Zionist like herself, at one of his events. Charlie believed in free speech and he believed in debate, and so that was her reason for attacking him. Briefly showing you this tweet from her, not even worth reading in its entirety, but this is the tweet that she sent out. And then Charlie died a couple of weeks later, and she completely switched and now thinks that she's guarding his legacy. Anyways, she was beside herself with glee this morning, sharing news that another Zionist influencer named Cam Higby, who has also now been credentialed by the Pentagon, decided to ask the perhaps billion-dollar question to the Pentagon's press secretary, a young woman named Kingsley Wilson, about the foreign angle of Charlie's assassination. Now, I obviously reported that the French Foreign Legion were apparently on the ground on the day of Charlie Kirk's assassination. So here is Cam Higby, who I guess is playing dress up as a reporter, asking the Pentagon's press secretary a question about the most viral story for about a week pertaining to France's participation in the biggest political assassination that has taken place since JFK, I would say. I think that's fair. Here's our new press corps, guys. Take a listen to, actually, first, let's focus in on Cam Higby's question. The way he asks it is, I think, worthy of highlighting. Take a listen.
Absolutely. I'm Kingsley Wilson. I'm the press secretary here at the Pentagon. We're in the Pentagon briefing room, and it's been fantastic. Get to come to the Pentagon every day, and now you all do as well.
Yeah. So this is my first question, and don't laugh. Does the DOW have any evidence at all of a French military plot to assassinate Candace Owens?
Okay, here's my first question. Don't laugh. It's like two girls getting their nails done. Okay, let me ask. We're like a sleepover. Okay. I have something to tell you. Don't laugh. Is this supposed to make us think that this is not propaganda? Are we going, this is cool? Is this the new strategy? All the cool kids don't even ask the feds questions. All the cool kids just get in line and do whatever they say. All the cool kids just think it's beyond crazy to consider that the state would assassinate people, even though that's what we do. That's what the CIA does. We just murder people around the world. But that's crazy talk. And so they're going to make it's like too cool to even answer. Take it away, Kingsley.
That is an interesting question. Not that I'm aware of, but, you know, interesting question. I can try to find out and maybe let you know. I think that might be more of a law enforcement matter, though.
No, I think actually the Department of Defense, this would be a good matter for you guys to take up of whether or not foreign governments are plotting assassinations of American citizens. Feels like this might be the right department to me, and I'm not laughing. So when I say to you guys, when I stress to you guys that you should not be signing up for war, you should not be signing up for the military, you should not get involved in this obvious war that they are planning that's coming soon, this exact moment between these two people is what I'm referring to. It's like a rare glimpse into the elitist perspective of our government. Like, our job, I guess, is to work and to deposit money so that they can build themselves complexes like the Pentagon, which is a 6.5 million square foot residence, office building, okay? It is the second largest office building in the world, 6.5 million square feet. And they built it with our money so that we could have some sort of an illusion of being protected by our government. Like, we could actually call them and say, hey, I have very specific information and accounts that you can trace because the president paid of France, allegedly paid $1.5 million for my assassination. And by the way, I have evidence they had French Foreign Legion on the ground on the day that Charlie got assassinated. they're not going to respond to that, right? But that's all supposed to be an illusion. When it comes down to it, getting that credible evidence after a televised event, essentially a televised event of a public execution, LOL. Get back to work, slaves. We're trying not to laugh at you questioning whether or not a 30-06 can be magically stopped by a human neck. How dare you ask any questions or speak to us about states coordinating assassinations? And are you guys still talking about the Epstein files? That's the attitude. They think this is good PR. Like, the Zionist accounts are sharing this and they're going, LOL. I don't know that the American government has ever been more, I don't know if they've ever been more out of touch with the American people than to see this as a, they're like, send it around the press. Ha ha. The Pentagon is laughing at foreign assassination. They don't take anything seriously. Yeah, we just watched Trump get shot at and his ear clipped. We just watched another person try to assassinate Trump on the golf field. And then we watched Charlie Kirk die publicly. But LOL, I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. That's not what we're here for. Get to work, slaves. Again, there is no left or right. It's just the elites. It's the media apparatus that protects those elites. And then the rest of us who are supposed to be slaves, okay? The elites own everything. They own everyone. And if somebody actually breaks free, right? If they have an individual in the matrix who creates something that they cannot control or buy, then there are only a couple of options for that individual, okay? The state responds and they say, we will destroy you reputationally. We will call you crazy, go after reputation, make up allegations against you. We will bankrupt you. We will imprison you, or we will kill you. That's the reality of the world that we live in, okay? We don't live in a meritocracy. It's not a free nation. They have to be able to control you. And the timing of me speaking about this is so perfect because this article appeared in Fortune yesterday. This is the headline. Inside the economics of Candace Owens' media empire and the Macron lawsuit threatening to unravel it. They went with this, like they're proud of this, like a lawsuit can unravel. What they're calling an empire is actually just a mom from home who got fired and rejected from literally nations. They tried to destroy me last year. They took everything. They just tried to destroy my reputation, tried to break my friendships, and I survived, okay? And that angers them. And so this article is written with such elitism, the hope that the state will step in and just break it, just bankrupt it. This is an actual quotation. The lawsuit, it reads, the lawsuit is set to test whether the controversy as currency that made Owens rich and gave her a media brand that reaches tens of millions of people can survive what experts say will be an immensely costly legal battle. Yeah, we're going to bankrupt Candace Owens. That is our intent. The experts are saying that we can do it because we can't control her. She wouldn't sell out. Not to the military complex that we live in, not to big companies, not to corporations. She wouldn't turn the eye when Palestinians were being genocided by Israel. And we have no other options. We're running out of options here. So we've got to kill her or we've got to bankrupt her. And we're signaling that we're going to bankrupt her. That's how this thing works. For telling the truth, by the way. That's why I'm being sued. And they're not lying. Thus far in the Brigitte Macron lawsuit, we have paid over $250,000, and we haven't even had our first day in court, okay? That's the matrix. That is the matrix. And I will, again, assert to these people, I will never bow the knee to evil. I will never bend the knee to people that harm children. You will never see me bend the knee to that, ever. Bankrupt me if that is what makes you feel good. Because at the end of the day, it feels like we are existing in a time where you are only catalyzing your own demise. Like it's people have never been more awake and more in tune. And the focus on Charlie Kirk's assassination proves that you couldn't make that go away. Speaking of which, Charlie Kirk, whose death is exposing this matrix in ways that I do not even think that we can fully comprehend in this moment just yet. We asked the question and we can't find the answer as to where Brigitte Macron was on the dates that the Egyptian plane was flying around America. It's just like a 6-day gap in Brigitte's schedule. And now, of course, especially as we have learned about Delaware and the DuPont French connection and the French Foreign Legion non-answer that we're getting, just gaslighting that we are getting, it feels like an even more relevant and rational question to be asking and somehow made even more interesting. Now that we know, or that we've learned, and thanks to the internet sleuths and the YouTubers that put this together, that an hour and a half before Charlie Kirk was assassinated in Utah, Donald Trump and Emmanuel Macron had a phone call that has been recorded in Emmanuel Macron's public calendar, which has been released. You can see that he had the phone call with Donald Trump at 6:45, obviously, p.m. in French time. That's 10:45 a.m. in Utah time. 10:45 a.m. Utah time is when they had this phone call. And look, that could be nothing. There's a lot going on in the world, obviously. And we also know that there's been a lot of discussion about Ukraine, and there's a million reasons that Emmanuel Macron and him could have had that poorly timed phone call. But it would be great if a press member could not LOL and say what was the nature of the phone call, just so that we know, right? These are questions that I think it's fair for us to ask with everything that's coming up and the lack of a true response that we're getting from anyone that has the means to answer these questions. Anyways, you guys, we're almost at overtime here, but in other assassination news, I wanted to mention to you that The Game, who is a hip-hop rapper, is releasing an album, and he has a song on his track list in this upcoming album that's entitled The Assassination of Candace Owens. I'm having like the best year ever or something. I don't know. Why The Game? Why has it got to be song number 13? What's going on? This better not be predictive programming, okay? We know how Hollywood gets down, okay? We're reading your books. Anyways, he was asked this question, this exact question, why, and he gave an answer, and here's what The Game had to say.
So you got this new mixtape dropping, and then there's this, like, one track called The Assassination of Candace Owens.
Yeah.
Why that title?
Because recently I've been seeing, like, conspiracy theories and, you know, about Candace Owens from herself, self-admitted. She feels like people are conspiring her. So what it was, it's more so an assassination of the character. So I just used that because it was like current news, but it's not, the song is not about Candace Owens, you
know? Oh, okay. So it's just a little bit deeper than, okay.
Yeah, I'm a rapper. We use metaphors, you know?
Okay. But aren't you, I mean, are you worried about Candace coming for you about this? I mean.
I'm not worried about Candace. But then again, you got to hear the song.
Okay, so she'll understand if she hears the song, maybe?
I mean, the thing is, she said that people were trying to assassinate her, so all I did was say it too. You know what I'm saying? So again, the song is not about her, but Candace Owens, man, she real smart, really intelligent woman. But if she comes for me, I mean, you know, it is what it is, man.
It is what it is. There's beef in these streets, okay? There's beef in these streets, and you better be scared because maybe I am coming for you, okay? I could be coming for you. I might drop a whole album. I might drop a whole mixtape too, okay? Anyways, I think it is a form of flattery, obviously. I'm friends with Ye, and he makes music, and they do use a lot of metaphors, so I'm not offended by this. Do I love the timing? Could I get a break for 6 months, maybe, and not have that title be there? Sure, but I'm totally okay with this. I think it's kind of cool. I actually kind of think it's cool. I hope the song lyrics are cool, and it's not a diss track. And it's not going to be like Eminem crying about me on a whole album, but I look forward to the song. I hope you feel free to use a little audio from the podcast. That would be cool. You could use a strip of me saying something. Everything is fake and gay would be super, super fly. Everything is fake and gay. Please put that in the song. That's my only request. All right, you guys, we'll get through a couple more sponsors and I will answer some of your comments. Okay, what if you could delay your next two mortgage payments? That's right. Imagine putting those two payments in your pocket and finally getting a little bit of breathing room ahead of the holidays. Well, that's now possible when you call American Financing. If you're feeling stretched by everyday expenses, groceries, gas, bill, it's all piling up, then you are not alone because most Americans are putting these expenses on credit cards and credit card rates are insane. They're in the 20s or even the 30s. American Financing can help show you how to use your home's equity to pay off that debt with rates in the low fives. Their salary-based mortgage consultants are helping homeowners just like you restructure their loans and save money every month, all without any upfront fees. Their customers are saving an average of $800 a month, and that's essentially like a $10,000 a year raise without having to change jobs. So call American Financing today at 800-795-1210. Again, that's 800-795-1210, or simply visit americanfinancing.net/Owens, americanfinancing.net/Owens. Also, you guys know I have to tell you about Nimi Skincare. I love them. Christmas is right around the corner. And if you are like me, you want to find gifts that are thoughtful, special, and something that your loved ones will actually use and enjoy. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Nimi Skincare, because if you're looking for a gift that truly feels special, this is definitely it. Nimi is all about creating simple, pure, and effective skincare. They believe in using high-quality ingredients that you can actually recognize. It's skincare that works, and it's all made right here in the USA. And just as importantly, you will be supporting a brand that shares our values of faith, family, and freedom. Nimi has a beautiful range of products for everyone on your list, so you can find the perfect gift for every skincare need, whether you're focused on anti-aging, brightening, minimizing pores, or you just want clean, effective hydration. Nimi will have a solution for you. Nimi's offering a special holiday discount just for my viewers. Right now, if you head to NimiSkincare.com and use my code Candace10 at checkout, you will save an additional 10% off your full order. So get your shopping done today and give the gift of simple, pure, and effective skincare this Christmas. That's NimiSkincare.com with code Candace10 at checkout. I mean, look, I'm obviously the game's muse. I don't think that's a stretch. I'm obviously the game's muse. I'm his muse for this upcoming album. So that is now a fact. And I had a lot of muses for my book, which is finally out, Make Him a Sandwich. You guys can get that on Amazon. People have been asking about international shipping. If you go to makehimasandwich.com, we are now shipping to Canada, and you can get those copies for 20% off if you buy it directly from the website as opposed to Amazon. So head to makehimasandwich.com, or you can head to Amazon if that is easier for you. And but signed copies can only be purchased on candaceowens.com. Also, we have some new merch. If you'd like to support the show and support actual, true, independent journalism, please do so. You can buy yourself a mug, buy yourself a hat, buy yourself a t-shirt. And we have some new kit, which I think looks really good, actually. We're going to have to send something out to the game. Game going to recognize game. I think that's fair. Game going to recognize game. And you guys can now also gift someone a membership to Club Candace or the book club on our website. Just head to the About section on the website and scroll down to Want to Gift a Membership. And if your answer is yes, you can do that now. All right, top comment from yesterday's episode. Somebody writes, the worst part of being awake is realizing there are way more evil people on this planet than I ever thought possible. I actually don't think there's more. I think they have a tremendous amount of power. I think they have control over the military. And I think that power will wane if we stop subjecting ourselves to their systems, their financial systems, their peer pressure systems, Hollywood, you know, the adoration that we had for stars and we followed their trends. And if we actually studied where it all came from, which is incredibly evil indoctrination, quite literally doctrines of evil, which is guiding that movement. It's guiding that theology, rather. I spoke about it more at length with Russell Brand and on his show. So that should be coming out soon. But we have to become educated about where it stems from. There's less of them, but they have a lot of power and they have a lot of influence. And they have, you know, blackmailed people that are in powerful positions. There's definitively more of us. That's why they want to kill us, obviously. That's why they want to drug us and keep us dumb, is because the numbers are not on their side. So we have to make sure it's not just the numbers, but also that the ideology is not on their side. The answer to people that want less families, not because they want you to be more efficient and to climb the corporate ladder. They just want less of you. There needs to be less slaves if you want to maintain control and you don't want the risk of a revolution to come down upon you. That's the true answer, is that that's why they promote all of these things. That's why they want people to have less children, is because they want to increase their numbers while decreasing ours. And so we need to be radical about not also giving our children to the system. If you can, and you can, you absolutely can, homeschool your children, pull them out of the system. Don't send your kids to college. Usury is another one of their tactics. Don't rack up debt. I made that mistake and learned nothing. It's just more time for them to indoctrinate your children. Be bold in changing the system. Be radical in your response of taking ownership over your own home. That's what I would say in response to that. Goodness wins. Goodness wins. In truth, Christ has already won. More comments from today. Meryl writes, careful, Candace. They may be betting that you won't be available for a sit-down the next few weeks. Also, watch your sources. Sometimes the feds plant sources with almost good information in order to humiliate their target later. Yes, I'm very aware of that. And we are very cautious about our sources. And sometimes that has happened fortunately, we haven't made a public mistake, but we'll keep going. And then I'll be like, I think this is good. And then Mark will be like, I don't know about this. Or Skylar will be like, I don't know about this. And that is what takes us so much time every day, is we're a small team, but we're constantly having to debate ourselves before we put something out. So thank you for that. Briley writes, they didn't answer any of your questions. They only brought up speculations that you made throughout the series. I hope you don't go there in person for your own safety. It is so sad that we have reached a time where you guys are legitimately concerned about my safety. And I get that. I get that. I feel like there is definitely something military that happened when Charlie got assassinated. And I think our lack of comfort comes from perhaps their refusal to acknowledge that. I think their response is what makes you guys feel fearful. But truly, I don't think Turning Point USA is so silly and stupid that they would coordinate an assassination on their campus and then think they're going to be like, that just happened. It was all weird. She ate a bad sandwich or something. But it is sad. It really is a marker of the times that we live in, that you guys truly feel this way. Angie Lynn writes, TPUSA will lie about everything, as they have been doing. Do not trust this for one second. You and your family's safety, money, everything is compromised. Team Candace Christ is king. James Gray writes, the TPUSA response seemed fake, calculated, scared. That guy's body language was just completely off, and he was literally speaking from a script. Yeah, he's speaking from a script, but I will say the thing that felt genuine was at the very end when he said, I owe everything to Charlie. That's when he went off script. And I don't know that they remember or know how to be authentic like that anymore. They're going to find out because I'm very authentic, and us having a face-to-face, I think it's the best way to answer this. Look, I came from Turning Point USA, so you guys know that me doing this, there's an element of heartache. You don't go into an organization and help to build it up because you one day hope that the founder of it is going to be assassinated so that you can destroy it, the very thing that you helped to build in a very big way. I contributed greatly to Turning Point USA's success, and they would never deny that. And so it's sad. It is really sad to see this sort of elitist direction that they're taking in, we thought you guys would be smarter than to listen to her. Oh, you guys are Antifa. What is that? It's such crap. James Gray writes, I already read that one. Tara writes, licensed psychotherapist here. This is obviously an attempt to psychologically manipulate, and a terrible one at that. I would gladly put my license on the line at this point to help in even the smallest of ways, holding you and your family in prayer, Candace. Keep up the prayers. Keep up the prayers. Brittany Watson writes, Candace, you are not just going Max, you are going scorched earth. And after watching Monday's episode, when you said that you are not some basic BI, I was like, girl, take my money. Thank you for being the world's best crime-fighting superhero. You know, I always think back to this interview that Kanye gave before I knew who he was. And I always loved Kanye. I loved his music. I loved the code of his music, which is you have to believe in yourself because the whole world is going to tell you you can't. And as soon as you step into the arena and you think you've won and you start having any modicum of success, the pressure actually only levels up. And people that you thought that you would be allies with, you find to be your enemies. Like, that's kind of the coded message of Kanye's music. But there's this interview that he gives where he says, somebody, I don't know what they asked him, but he responds and he says, you know, if you're a fan of Kanye West, you're not a fan of Kanye West. You're actually a fan of yourself. You believe in yourself and you think that you can do something in this world. And I feel the same way. I think that the people who think that they're fans of mine, you're not fans of Candace. You believe in yourself. You believe that we can actually change things, and you believe that you should be able to fight for truth, and you're not going to be influenced by people that are taking money to make videos and say things. Like, there's that thing, there's that spark inside of you. It's kind of what I got when Kanye said that. It's not me, it's the spark that you see in me. It's the audacity to be yourself and to think your own thoughts and to keep going when the whole world tells you no. So that's how I feel. Candace Go Max, I love that someone picked up that name as their username. Thanks for the honest investigations. The truth shall set us all free. Thanks for the USS Liberty episode as well. To this day, the best interview that we have ever given. We were all, you could feel a spiritual movement in this room when we interviewed Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. I'll never forget that interview. It transformed me. It was a major turning point in my life. And thank you guys more. I mean, I'm so grateful to you guys, and I hope you know that I start all of my prayers with gratitude, because I started realizing that sometimes when you pray, you're asking for a lot, But if you start with gratitude of the things that you're thankful for, like, you know, you come to God and you're like, I would like to, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful. By the time you get through all the things that you're grateful for, you're like, man, do I really want to lodge any complaints? It's a good way to pray. And I always say that I am grateful for the people around the world that believed in me and that continue to believe in me. And yeah, sometimes I make mistakes. I get time zones wrong, but at least you guys can see that my heart is in the right place. And I really do just genuinely want the answers. So I'm glad that we are at long last going to get them from Turning Point USA. It sounds like I said, I'll do this tomorrow. I don't have to be in person. We can live stream this. I think the people trust me to represent all of the questions that we have, and we can have the money go to Turning Point USA. Every dollar that's raised, I would gladly sacrifice that to the organization. That's how much it means to just be able to get these questions answered. Anyways, you guys, we will see you tomorrow.